Well, I did a whole lot of talking before I even started preaching today. And then...
Good talking, though.
Then I had some other talk, some more talking I want to do before I start preaching. But that'll probably be it, just my talking instead of... And we'll get into Romans probably next week. I wasn't going to preach my regular Martin Luther King sermon today. You know, it's on the web if anybody wants to find it. And I'm sure I'll preach it again. But I did want to make some comments. So maybe I'm preaching another Martin Luther King sermon, but I don't want to leave it all on the negative parts either. The verse that always comes to my mind, if I'd have just read this verse without even telling you what I was going to mention, I think it would have came to your mind as well. In Isaiah 5 and verse 20, when I think of this country and our doings, now the prophet warned, "Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes, and prudent in their own sight." Tomorrow, this nation will commemorate or celebrate, however you want to say it, Martin Luther King Day. Martin Luther King wasn't born Martin Luther King, of course. He was born Michael. But another one of those AKAs and so forth. But anyway, Martin Luther King was born January the 15th, 1929. And if you remember my sermon, if you've done any research on your own, according to his own associates, Abernathy and others, according to his own associates, this man was a vile whoremonger. According to the tapes that the FBI made, he spent his last night on this earth with a white prostitute, crying out, "I'm fornicating for God," or words to those effects. He was a lying thief and a plagiarizer, as is proved by his doctoral thesis and other things that he wrote during his life. Even his famous "I've Got a Dream" speech. According to the head of the FBI, documents, photographs, Martin Luther King was trained at a communist school, associated with known communists, made them his highest advisors, and even when warned about that, when advised on those things by the Attorney General of the United States, pretended to fire and continued to employ these folks as his advisors. Martin Luther King was, I think, without a doubt, as we look at the evidence, a false prophet. He was a man who proclaimed his own dream and denied the fundamentals of the Christian faith. And yet he's elevated as the Reverend. Prophet Jeremiah told us what God thought about these sort of dreamers in Jeremiah 23 and verse 28. "The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rocks in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he said. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall profit this people. They shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. I was driving to the range with my grandson. He was talking about Martin Luther King Day. And, you know, I said, well, we don't really celebrate that, you know, because he just did everything. He was just doing everything for the blacks. I said, that doesn't have anything to do with it. I said, there are a lot of folks that did things for the blacks, you know, George Washington Carver and some of these other folks that did good things. There's nothing wrong to do things for your own people. I said, but he was doing things contrary to this country. He was doing the things contrary to all folks. And as the Lord spoke here, you know, I look at these so-called black preachers and these leaders in the black movement. They're doing nothing but hurting their own people. As I mentioned earlier about the situation in Haiti, you know, a slave, oh, rise up and kill all the whites. He fomented to do that. How did that work out for him, you know? See what the Lord said? Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them, therefore they shall not profit this people at all. Now, he didn't profit his people. He didn't help the blacks. Well, as I thought on these things, I did a little bit of research this week. I wanted to share some of it with you. Some of it's a little bit newer, at least from a different perspective than I brought out before, and perhaps you'll find it of interest as well. I found a site was set forth by a black woman. I don't know who she is. She isn't one of the conservative black women that I happen to know about and have read some of their articles. I don't even know who this lady was. In fact, I couldn't even see her name. I saw initials, and perhaps her name was somewhere on there, but I didn't look around that well. But here's what she wrote, and I want to share it with you. Her thought, her research. She says, I'm black, and there are some things that I'm glad about as a black person. I'm glad I don't have to sit in the back of the bus when I choose to ride one. I'm glad that I was able to attend the university of my choice. I'm glad that my husband can work in a good career. I'm glad that when we stay at a hotel, we don't have to enter through the back door. I'm glad that we can eat at whatever restaurant we want to and that we don't have to stand in the kitchen to eat our food. I'm glad that I don't have to look for the colored signs when I need to relieve myself or when I want a drink of water. I'm glad about these things. Martin Luther King had a part in bringing these about, which I might question. Anyway, she says, but I'm not defined by my color, though there are those that would choose to define me so. I'm defined by who my Father is. I'm a blood-bought, born-again, sanctified, walking with the Lord, child of God. That is who I am. I serve the only wise God and Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't serve myself anymore. My life is all about Jesus. It wasn't always, but it is now. If there be any good thing that springs forth from my life, it comes from Jesus Christ, my sin-bearer, my Savior, and my Master. The only thing that matters in this life is what a person does with Jesus Christ. They will either humble themselves under His mighty hand, or they will be ground to powder. Did Martin Luther King Jr. humble himself under His mighty hand? Or is Martin Luther King Jr. in hell right now? Earlier this year, 1998 it was at the time, she says, my little sister asked me to look up some stuff on the net for a paper she was doing on Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. As I surfed, the Lord put a thought in my mind, does this man ever testify of me? I thought to myself, the world loved this man. If he was preaching the gospel, the world would have hated him. I started looking up Martin Luther King's writings. As I read, I realized that he was a stranger and foreigner to me. Whenever he mentioned Jesus, it was along with mere mortals like Socrates and Gandhi. In his jailhouse letter, King lumped all religions into the same class. I could not find one sermon, she puts it in quotes, where he preached Jesus Christ and him crucified. What I saw is that this man preached a social gospel using black churches as his springboard. King's philosophy is rather reminiscent of the Catholic liberation theology in South America. After several hours of reading on him in the net, I told my husband that this man was not our brother in Christ. Someone who called himself reverend and preached in churches was obviously not saved. For 32 years, I've heard great and favorable things about Martin Luther King. His name was and is synonymous with civil rights. But in 1998, the Lord Jesus Christ has shown me that Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was nothing short of a heretic. It was a strange revelation. Well, it's interesting, and I'm not going to quote. She goes into his writings. She searched them out. And I'd read some of them before, but as I looked at them more and more, it was astonishing that with all the plagiarizing he was doing, that he couldn't write any better than he did. You know, I'm sorry, but this lady obviously is educated. Some of the things he wrote, it was like the things you see out of junior high kids today that don't have much grasp of the English language. But anyway, she goes forth and shows, and I can take you to his own writings and show you that he denied the sonship of Jesus Christ. He made light of that. He sounded like my professors at Southeastern. You know, he talked about how the doctrine of the sonship of Christ developed. You know, how it came about in the early church and how they developed these things. The very same thing with the virgin birth. The very same thing with the resurrection of Christ. I mean, he denied any supernatural plan of salvation. So it's not surprising that he never preached the gospel, because it meant nothing to him. Here's the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, denies that Christ is the Son of God, denies that he was born of a virgin, denies that he rose gloriously from the dead, denies that God had any plan of salvation. Tomorrow we honor him. We lift him up. He'll be promoted from coast to coast. Even so-called conservatives and the Republicans, they've all embraced this charlatan. Woe unto them that call evil good. I kind of think that has to apply to this country. Woe unto them. Woe. That speaks of coming grief, of coming misery. We can lump it all together and say, you know, bad stuff. Bad stuff's coming. Punishment's coming. Woe unto them that call evil good. Boy, I look about, that's not the purpose of this sermon either, but I look at, what's happening in the financial realm, folks? Woe. Woe unto them. Military, you know. Then take natural disasters, if you want to call it that, or divine intervention. Woe unto them. Woe unto them that call evil good. Well, America increasingly calls evil good. Whenever this day rolls around, I can't help but think of another American, His birthday was January the 19th, 1807. Robert E. Lee. Increasingly, he's spoken of as evil. You can look around and you'll see folks calling him a traitor, and a man who broke his oath, and all manner of things. It's interesting, you know, they make all these charges. I've not seen any specific allegation that's ever been made against him that'll stick. None. Lee was not a perfect man. But I think in a lot of ways, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, he was like Joseph in the Old Testament, you know. We know that Joseph was not a sinless man, but that Joseph was not without fault. But none of them are recorded. None of them are recorded. He lived such a life. Robert E. Lee, from all I can study, that I can read, even from those who try to detract from him, Robert E. Lee was a true Christian gentleman. The quote that always comes to my mind that I usually have on my wall, but I took it down so I wouldn't forget it. James I. Robertson writes, "In the pantheon of American soldiers, none stands taller than Generals Robert Edward Lee and Thomas Jonathan Stonewall Jackson. They now seem larger than life. When considering Lee and Jackson, eyes seem to lift. So does the mind. The very words these men used, gentlemen, duty, valor, honor, have a quaint sound in these times because they have become unfamiliar terms." People who say that Lee and Jackson did not really exist make that statement because no one like them exists now. Of course, Robertson's not saying folks deny the historical characters of Lee, figures of Lee and Jackson, but that, you know, as we know them, what's been written about them as though it was a myth and couldn't be true of any men, because we don't have men like that today. I think it's important to hold up men like that as encouragements to folks, like Brother Ellis, when I said, you know, he was an inspiration to us. The Lord uses folks like that, and we don't worship them. We don't hold them up as sinless, but we hold them up as what we could be, or our children could be, or our grandchildren could be. Increasingly, America looks at such men as that and calls them evil, wicked, dismisses them. Well, a couple things. Most of these we've heard at one time or another about General Lee. Some of them might be a little bit new. The one I can't recall having ever read or heard, though I probably had. And I just wanted to share some of those with you. We know of Lee's testimony. When he was informed by one of his chaplains that all the chaplains prayed for him, General Lee's eyes filled with tears, and he replied, "I sincerely thank you for that. I can only say that I'm a poor sinner, trusting in Christ alone, and that I need all the prayers that you can offer for me." On another occasion, as he was questioned on some things and his actions, Lee simply said, My chief concern is to be a humble, earnest Christian." And of course, we know in the midst of a great conflict and all of his responsibilities, General Lee could testify to his sovereign Lord as he said, "At present, I am not concerned with results. God's will ought to be our aim. And I am quite contented that His designs should be accomplished and not mine." I can't think of hardly a better testimony to the sovereignty of God, one that can rest in those things. Why, in the midst of everything, you know, one can still have that calm demeanor. He trusted in the sovereign Lord. He knew who was really in charge. Well, on the note of his humility, and I've come across this, and like I said, I may have read it before. I didn't really remember it. I'd always wondered why exactly, but it never, you know, I'd never really even researched it that I remember. But in the back of my, you know, General Lee, you ever seen him in uniform, pictures of him? And what's he have on his collar? You know what he has? 3 stars. But you know, those 3 stars don't mean what they do today. You look at all the other Confederate generals. They have 3 stars encased in a wreath. That was the insignia of a general. 3 stars in the Confederate Army was the rank of a colonel. 1 star was a major. 2 stars was a lieutenant colonel. 3 stars was a colonel. Here was Robert E. Lee, the commander of all the Southern armies, ultimately. And he, throughout the war, only wore the rank of a colonel. Of course, when he came in, he had been a colonel in the regular army already. Now, I came across this, and I don't know the exact background of it, but it says, or take Lee's humility. If ever a man might have been proud, it was General Lee. Descended from a long line of illustrious ancestors, it would have been excusable had he exhibited a consciousness of his superiority. But the opposite was true. One day, when he was asked, quote, "Why is it, General, that you do not wear the full insignia of your rank, but content yourself with the stars of a colonel?" Quote, "Oh," replied Lee, "I don't care for display. The truth is that the rank of colonel is about as high as I ought ever to have gotten. Or perhaps I might manage a good cavalry brigade if I had the right kind of subordinates." You know, the humility of the man. You know, "I might could handle a cavalry brigade if I had the right kind of men working for me." And again, I think that's the kind of humility. We compare the quotes of General Lee with some of the quotes that we have had validated by some of the subordinates of Martin Luther King that we would have our children to aspire to, whether they be black or white, yellow, red. Above all, General Lee was a man of great and undaunted faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've often read his general order, and I'll repeat that. An order that comes from the office of the commanding general, set forth to his troops. As he said, "Soldiers, we have sinned against Almighty God. We have forgotten his signal mercies and have cultivated a revengeful, haughty, and boastful spirit. We have not remembered that the defenders of a just cause should be pure in his eyes, that our times are in his hands, and we have relied too much on our own arms for the achievement of our independence. God is our only refuge and strength. Let us humble ourselves before him. Let us confess our many sins and beseech him to give us a higher courage, a purer patriotism, and a more determined will, that he will convert the hearts of our enemies, that he will hasten the time when war, with its sorrows and sufferings, shall cease. That he will give us a name and place among the nations of the earth. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them. And I can only thank in closing to say, may the Lord have mercy upon us. We'll take our hymnals this morning, sing a closing hymn together. Number 276, Wonderful Words of Life, 276.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Send others to the loving call, wonderful words of life. Also freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this day. Lord, we thank Thee for the privilege to gather as Your people, Lord. I thank You for each one that's here. I thank You, Lord, for the encouragement we draw from one another. I pray, Lord, You'd be with us in the coming week, that You might be glorified in Your people. Lord, is we've spoken of today, we as a country have sort of so far departed from Your ways, or even from the foundations that were laid at the beginning. Certainly, Lord, the character of a people can be ascertained by the people they reverence. Lord, calling evil good has become the way, not only as we or some celebrate tomorrow. It's the birth of a man that denied your faith. Lord, but as we look at those that are promoted throughout our culture, be they entertainers, sportsmen, politicians, yea, even preachers, Lord, we pray that you might have mercy on us, for Lord, we know but for your staying hand we would be altogether undone. Father, we as a nation are nothing but deserving of your wrath. Lord, if it be your will that there might be a return and a restoration, I pray that you use your people to bring that about. And Lord, if not, that you help us to be a witness against the darkness that surrounds. Give us the grace to stand. Father, we mentioned many today need your healing hand. Well, we mentioned many brothers in the ministry that still seek to proclaim your truths. Thank Lord of sister churches, a family that profess you not. Or we look at the dark clouds that surround the financial realm, the political realm. Father, we thank thee for the comfort that we can have in knowing that you're a sovereign God, that you're working your perfect will. Lord, I pray that you might help us to walk in your ways. Lord, to love those things that you would love, to honor those things that you would honor. Father, we thank thee for your eternal love. We thank thee for our Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank thee for his atoning death. Lord, we thank thee for the rest that we can have in a sovereign God. And we pray in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen.